Hey, this is Laura with Kick-Ass in Life, where I help you get hired fast, be smart with money, and be a little happier and healthier. Today we are talking about health, and the path to be a little bit happier and healthier is different for everyone. There is no one set path to wellness, and it can be difficult to find the right balance for you in your own personal health journey. I know for me, when I pay attention to what I eat and what I drink, it definitely affects how I feel. And we're going to sort of dive into that today because my guest knows a lot about how what you eat affects how you feel. And so I spoke to Christy Powers, who's a health coach, a wellness blogger, a recipe creator, a Pilates instructor. She does a lot of different things. She wears a lot of different hats, but she's super passionate about helping others reverse their health conditions through paying attention to what you eat.
I think that's also how you stick with a lifestyle, because I don't like to call it a diet. And if you make it fun and tasty and it doesn't feel like you're on something stringent, then you stick with it and you stay inspired.
I enjoy talking to Christy because we talked a lot about various things, anything from how to eat to reduce some inflammation, what's actually in our foods that causes that inflammation, how to listen to your body when it's trying to tell you something, such as if you feel a little tired or you have brain fog or you're stressed out. And we also dive into ways that you can control your stress through self-care. So this episode's all about taking care of you. Let's do it.
So how did you find yourself on that health path? I was diagnosed with two autoimmune diseases, lupus and Hashimoto's. After struggling for years with extreme fatigue, brain fog, weight fluctuation, and a host of other symptoms, by changing my diet and my lifestyle, my life changed. So after my success in putting lupus in remission and numerous other issues aside naturally, I felt compelled to help others with my message of health.
And when it came to changing your diet, was that something that you, how did you start approaching that? Did you view it as like a science experiment of you would eliminate these things and then you'd start to feel this way? Or how did you approach that?
No, actually, for years, how I approached it was I went to see a ton of different specialists. So I went to endocrinologists, I went to general practitioners, I went to acupuncturists. And each doctor practitioner gave me bits and pieces of information. But it wasn't until I stumbled on my own research from the internet and came across Dr. Stephen Gundry, who discussed a lot of the issues that I was facing and talked about reversing disease and inflammation naturally through diet. So by reading that, I resonated with that material and oddly enough got to see him through a friend of mine. And it's as if the universe just kind of conspired to make that all happen. And then after seeing him, he told me about this diet of avoiding what's called lectins. And by doing so, it changed the trajectory of my life.
Wow. That's kind of incredible to just be in a situation where you're in so much pain and suffering, and then somebody suggests one thing, and after trying so many things, that works. So that's incredible. So explain what lectin is and why avoiding it helped you to find the results that you were looking for.
Sure. I know probably people are listening and they're like, what is a lectin? But it is basically a protein that is a specific kind of protein found in plants. And plants have evolved over millions of years before we were even on the planet. There were maybe some species that were eating them, but when we came along, plants were threatened, basically. So they developed this protein to protect themselves, and some plants have more lectins in them than others. So basically, I avoid lectin-heavy foods, which are found in all grains, not just gluten. Gluten is actually one of thousands of lectins out there. So I avoid all grains, and that includes corn, quinoa, and rice. And then the nightshade family, which is tomatoes and peppers and cucumber, squashes, and legumes, which are beans and peas and all of that.
That's really interesting. And I've also heard some of those people that have avoided some of those foods, such as nightshades and other things that cause inflammation in their body too, which is not something I know a lot about, but I know that, you know, I think that, you know, there are these like small tweaks that you can make in your diet that can lead to more energy. So what do you find that you're eating now? What does your diet consist of?
So I think there's a confusion about being lectin free often when people hear about the diet, because it's not paleo and it's not keto, even though it sounds familiar or similar, I should say. But it's really a plant-based diet. So I do eat meat, but when I eat meat, it's grass-fed. So I'm truly eating grain-free, because if an animal ate grain, then I'm also digesting grain. It does translate to the body that way. So yes, that's basically, it's a plant-based diet. So I'm eating all sorts of things. And that's why I created my blog, because I wanted to provide people recipes for free, because I found it in the beginning extremely frustrating. What do I eat? I mean, I broke down in tears the first time I went to the grocery store, because it at first seemed super stringent and limiting and even isolating. But then I started to focus on, well, what are the foods I can eat? So I'm eating, obviously, like a lot of leafy greens, root vegetables, nuts, and then wild seafood and grass-fed meats.
Wow, that sounds really healthy in terms of trying to do the things that avoid inflammation and avoid flare-ups.
Right.
So when you're thinking about coming up with a new recipe for your blog, what goes into that? How do you make it delicious and approachable and easy? What's your approach?
I basically look at what's in season. I love and observe looking at what's in season. And I love also adding texture and crunch and layers into my cooking. And my approach is to make food that doesn't look or taste like diet food. So even though, you know, it sounds super stringent, I want people to feel satisfied and a bit spoiled. And I really try to translate that into my posts. I was raised watching Martha Stewart. I love her and how she makes everything from scratch. And I really try to think about, would Martha Stewart like this and even eat it, or even think that this was diet food? And that's the way I approach my recipes.
That sounds fun. And it's a good lens to look through, because you want to make things that people feel excited about eating and not, you know, I, for example, have a salad every day and I'm so bored by it, but, you know, it works for me, but, I would love to add some variety with different things that make me feel good and can provide energy throughout the day.
Definitely. And I think that's also how you stick with a lifestyle, because I don't like to call it a diet. And if you make it fun and tasty and it doesn't feel like you're on something stringent, then you stick with it and you stay inspired.
Yeah, well said. So if somebody wanted to feel a little bit more energy in their life, what would you recommend?
Well, I'm a big believer in avoiding lectins, because I believe that they're very hard to digest. So by eliminating foods that are difficult to digest, because it takes energy to process that food. And then, you know, we're better off for it if we're eating something that's super clean and you're not taking all the blood in your stomach, using all that energy, and instead you have that energy left over for you. So focusing on removing the grains, the nightshades and legumes, and also just paying attention to the way something makes you feel after you eat it. Oftentimes, like, we have stomach bloat, gas, not digesting things easily, even notice like having a runny nose or something spicy. Those are all warning signs from your body saying like, hey, this isn't something you should be eating. This is going to be hard for us to digest. So it's really focusing on that awareness.
Yeah, I think that's, I feel like that's really important, because, you know, every year in
January, I do the Whole 30. And I know that's a popular thing, but it's basically an elimination diet where you eliminate five things from your diet for 30 days, and then you start to reintroduce them to see how it makes you feel.
Right.
And I think just being aware of that awareness, as you mentioned, for how something makes you feel, I think can really help you establish what your baseline of that you need is in your diet, because I think you just eat these things because it's routine, but you don't stop and think, oh, wait, this makes me feel bloated, or this makes me feel tired. By eliminating them and then reintroducing them, you realize, oh, I don't really need to be eating as much of XYZ as I had been before.
Oh, definitely. And it's funny how we just consider some of these things as normal. Like, oh, it's normal that I eat beans and I get bloated like this. But I mean, that does take away your energy.
Yeah, I think that's so true, because we just get in the habits of eating the same types of food. So it's great that you have a blog where you can expose people to different ways of eating and also different fun recipes that are still delicious but make you feel good after you've eaten them as well.
Yes, it's a joy to do so.
But yeah, that's amazing to find something you're so excited about. So what are some additional steps beyond eating that you'd recommend for anybody who's really interested in taking care of themselves, but maybe doesn't know where to start because they're just getting started in their career, they're kind of focused on that. But what would you say are some other things to pay attention to if you want to take care of yourself?
Yeah, I think oftentimes, well, we're in an energy depleted society, right? I feel like we're so reliant on caffeine. We also work a ton these days, bringing our work home with us often. And I find people don't take enough breaks. And simply moving the body and changing your physiology can change your life as well. So I find if I'm in a funk or I'm depressed or I have low energy or I'm experiencing a flare-up, by like simply moving 20 minutes, going outside, just walking my dog or hitting the gym, it will change my mood immediately. It will change my day. So just moving your body will definitely help. It's very basic. And I think the other thing too would be getting a good night's sleep and developing good sleep habits. And we oftentimes don't get enough sleep. And the last thing I would say is trying to practice meditation if you can. Meditation is something else that I found that helps me gain energy back, especially after a night maybe I didn't sleep very well. And it's just also relaxing and helps with anxiety and stress.
I think those are really great tips. I think if you were to incorporate those every day, or at least most days, or when you can, I think it would really boost your happiness pretty significantly.
Oh, definitely. And I know that some people probably find meditation very intimidating, but there are many free meditations on YouTube that are guided, that are even just 5 minutes long. I mean, just taking 5 minutes out of the day for yourself will do wonders.
That's great. Do you have any recommendations for like what time of day to do it?
I practice transcendental meditation myself. I like that style because it recommends that you practice 20 minutes when you first wake up in the morning to kind of set your day and the tone of your day. And then after your day, when you get home in the late afternoon or early evening, doing another 20 minutes. And I know that is a, it may be hard for some people's schedule, but even just doing 5 minutes to start your day and maybe end your day, it's a nice way to just have that cycle for the day.
Yeah, I think that's really smart and very approachable. I mean, yeah, 20 minutes may be a lot to start out with, but start with five. Everybody has 5 minutes. You can carve out 5 minutes. And even myself, like I've thought, oh yes, I totally want to add meditation. And the only way that I'm successful in doing it is if I say, okay, I'm going to do it for 5 minutes and I'm going to schedule it. And it feels like a lot, but once you start to get in the practice of doing it, it kind of feels good and you look forward to it. But it does take a little bit of routine to build that up.
Right. Practice. Exactly.
What are some other ways?
But it is worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are some other ways that you take care of yourself when you're not working?
I definitely work out every day. I have found struggling with autoimmune disease over the years, as odd as it sounds, as catch-22 as it sounds, not having energy to begin with, by working out, it gave me energy. And it also relieved my depression and anxiety symptoms that I felt with autoimmune disease. So I'm a big proponent of working out. I also instruct Pilates. So it's a gentle form of exercise. You can create a more difficult workout and layer that in, of course, with Pilates, but you can also, it can also just be a very gentle workout for all ages. And I love the variations that come along with that. So I definitely meditate every day and try to move my body.
And I think that's so smart. And I try to do the same thing with exercise because it's my happy pill. And when I don't work out, I feel off. And, you know, so it's something so simple that I personally like working out in the morning. And I just, you know, have my workout done. And so then it's just, I've done one thing for myself and it kind of helps me kick ass in other ways throughout the day.
Right.
Once I've sort of started with and prioritized myself, which I think working out is doing that. It's prioritizing yourself and your wellness and, you know, and helping you live longer, be smarter, all of that.
Right, right. Self-care does wonders.
Yeah.
And it's communicating something to your body, right? If you're taking the time out for yourself, it's self-love. And that's powerful.
That's so powerful. Yeah, I can't agree more with that. And I would also say that it's important to find something that works for you. So, you know, I think it's important to try different exercises to see what is that thing that you might like, because you may not like going to a gym class, but you might love running outside, or you may love playing basketball or whatever the thing is, but find that for you and kind of play and explore to see what's right for you.
Right. And you might want to do something in a group setting, or you might want to do something solo, like you said, going for a run outside. And then what's lovely about going for a run outside or walking outside is you're also getting that fresh air, you're getting vitamin D, and you're getting a healthy dose of possibly nature and just being outside.
Hmm. I think my happiest self is one that is just within nature.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. So what do you wish everybody would know about wellness or taking care of themselves?
I think the first thing is paying attention, like we were talking about earlier, and being self-aware of your own body and your own feelings. I feel like there's just so many symptoms and emotions that we brush off as normal every single day. We tell ourselves, oh, I guess this is just the way I am, or I'm just getting older, and just paying attention to everything your body is communicating and honoring it and realizing that maybe I can change this symptom. Maybe this isn't my normal. So I would definitely say that.
And in terms of that, would you write that down or just...
Definitely.
Paying attention throughout the day. Okay, cool.
Definitely. I write things down. And in the beginning, I felt it overwhelming to write down all of my symptoms because I had so many. So what I did was I kept a little piece of paper and I just stored it somewhere. And every time I thought of something, I would write it down. And then what was so rewarding about that experience and the clients that I work with today, I make them write this list. Because you come back to it and crossing out all of those symptoms, it just keeps you on course. It makes you motivated and inspired to keep healthy.
Well said. So what's next for you? How are you kicking ass in life?
Well, I am at the end of this month, I am launching an ebook. And the ebook is about motivation, how to stay the course, how to be healthy. It's such a stringent diet. It definitely starts with mindset. And it's going to be laced with premium recipes that I've created. And I'm also coaching people one-on-one to live healthier, more vibrant lives. I've placed autoimmune conditions in remission, lost weight, and I feel compelled to help others achieve their wellness goals. And then I will be starting a YouTube channel, because I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, my recipes look difficult, and they're not. Honestly, a lot of them are under 30 minutes to make. So I want to show the teeny tiny kitchen that I work in, the very basic utensils that I use, and how easy these recipes are to make, and how it's easy to adopt a lectin-free lifestyle once you get going and learn it. So that's my mission and what I've been up to.
Well, congratulations. I'm so excited for your ebook and all of the great things that you are doing to help people feel better. I think it's a great mission and one that I definitely support. So thank you again for sharing all your wise words. So tell us how we can find you.
So my blog, powersbeing.com, powers is my last word, or my last name. And then powersbeing over at Instagram. And that's basically where I'm at right now. And you can just catch the latest there.
Christy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Christy for all of her wise words. And here are today's top takeaways. So number one, pay attention to how you're feeling, whether you may have some brain fog, weight fluctuations that aren't normal. Write down your symptoms every day so that you can start tracking how potentially what you're eating can affect how you're feeling. Number two, if you're interested in reducing inflammation, why not try avoiding lectins in the grains you eat in the nightshade family and just see how you feel and see if it gives you a little bit more energy? Why not? Thank you to you for giving this episode a listen. If you want a deeper dive, please visit my site, kickassin.life. You can always email me, kickassinyourlife@gmail.com, if I can help you in any way. Follow along on social media. My Instagram's kickassin.life. And I do this for you. I want to help you, so let me know how I can do that. So go kick ass in your health. Until next time.